Listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. This is John Williams. Thank you, John Hansen, for once again doing a terrific job filling in for me when I'm away. Took a couple of days, Brent and I did, and kind of tooled around Michigan a little bit. Continue to follow the news a little bit there. You know, when you're traveling in the Midwest, you have to make sure that the state you're traveling in is now no longer prohibited. So I every now and then we'll send a message to our boss here. I'll say, hey, Mary, listen, if this state goes black and I have to get out, let me know, and I'll come running. And Michigan was okay. But literally, as we were driving through Indiana, they say, Indiana may be in trouble. So I hit the gas, rolled up the windows, and we got through without breathing any Indiana air. So now here I am, safe and sound. About the last half hour of my 9 to noon show, where we visited with Eric Zorn, in the last hour anyway, and talked about the fair slash flat slash better tax, our own friend Lou Manfredini said, I love you, but the fair tax will hit small business owners who operate their businesses as subchapter S corporations and will drive business from the state. $400,000 is not a lot of money if you're running a business as an S-Corp. Get an accountant on to talk about this on the Business Lunch. Maybe we'll do it in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow or Monday. We'll continue to update you on that. Eric was on the show because he was upset, if nothing else, about the fact that the Illinois Policy Institute here in Illinois has filed a suit. They're trying to actually, what was it, a change? I know they're upset with the wording on the ballot itself. We'll follow up on that, if not in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow, then on Monday. Elise Glink joins us once again on WGN Radio. Elise, good to hear you. How are you today?
Things are good, John. Glad you're back safe and sound.
Yes, I know. We were in Michigan. You know, which, again, doesn't sound that scary, but these days you never know.
Anybody can get it.
Think Glink Media and Best Money Moves is you. You are the author of 100 Questions Every First-Time Home Buyer Should Ask. What's the latest now on stimulus? What are you hearing about that?
Well, it's been a real back and forth, which has been sort of interesting, because you would think that President Trump yesterday, you would think he'd be pushing for stimulus, which is basically very positive for the incumbent to be able to announce trillions of dollars of basically free money being given out to everybody. Last night he reversed himself and then reversed himself again, perhaps, I'm not quite sure, but where we seem to have left off is that he seems open to a negotiation where he would give about $1.6 trillion. That's the amount actually that the Republicans were pushing for. The Democrats had come down to about $2.2 trillion. And again, remind everybody we're talking about trillion with a T. Big numbers here. And so he's looking to specifically hand out another $1,200 in stimulus to kind of whoever qualified the last time. Plus, he's looking for airline help because they've got big numbers of layoffs and coming right now. And then also for very small businesses, I think the administration is now targeting businesses with 10 or fewer employees.
Late in the trading day yesterday, the Dow gave up 600 points. It was up a couple hundred and then lost 300 or 400. On that news, so it was a 600-point swing. I see the Dow has gained a lot of that back. It's up 429. The Nasdaq's up 183. S&P's up 45. So the markets, it's crazy, isn't it? And you kind of knew that yesterday. You thought, okay, this is the market responding to the politics, but I'll bet that'll change. The politics seem to, the negotiations do every day, and now we're back 429 points on the Dow.
Yeah, it's actually up ahead of where it lost yesterday, right? So
right.
Not as far up as it had been, right? But it's still up. I think that, you know, the thing to keep in mind here is, again, and I've said this, you know, many times on your show, the stock market is a little or a lot, depending on your point of view, disconnected from reality. The reality being, you know, there are a lot of people who are unemployed and continuing to collect those unemployment checks, but they bet that business will do better because if people have more money, i.e. the stimulus, they've got that cash in their pocket, they're going to go out and spend it. What we've seen, though, is not so much spending as deleveraging. And what by that I mean, they're taking the debt that they have and they're trying to get that paid down with the cash that they have, more than they're going out and buying new things. And that's causing a little bit of a problem for the economy rebounding.
We'll pick it up here in just a minute. 312-981-7200 if you've got a question or comment. Elise Glink is on the phone line. It's 1219. We're talking to Elise Glink on WGN. Elise, I just wanted to kind of go through a couple of headlines on the business front today. IRS is reaching out. This is actually from Terry Savage's column, and she's going to join us next week. Terry will be here next Wednesday. The IRS is reaching out to approximately 9 million Americans who deserved a stimulus check but didn't get one, likely because they earned too little to have filed a tax return and are not on the government's benefit list, like Social Security, disability, SSI, stuff like that. There's maybe 9 million people out there that are supposed to get a stimulus check, still have not. The IRS is trying to tell people that did not get that $1,200 but should have received it that they have until, and they've moved this now, November 21st to register. You can go to irs.gov/coronavirus/non-filers, enter payment information here. Anyway, if you go to irs.gov/coronavirus, if you did not get a stimulus check, there's still hope that you could.
Right, and they just moved that yesterday, actually. I think it was yesterday, maybe it was Monday. The IRS has, it was originally October 15th, which was a week from today, that you had to actually get your information into the IRS. And by the way, if you just go to irs.gov, there's actually a link right on the homepage, right at the top, that says non-filers, enter payment info here. And that's where you go to get this. I'm very pleased that Terry's obviously covered this and that we've pushed the deadline back. I think having 9 million people not get their $1,200 is a very important number, and it's just a shame that so many people haven't had access to that cash. So smart move on the part of the IRS, and I hope people will go to irs.gov and feel free to investigate there how they can get that money.
Congress has not agreed upon a second stimulus check. I don't know, are you reading the tea leaves out there? If and when is that going to happen, do you guess, Terry? Or Elise?
Elise, I guess I would say, John, that we're definitely going to have some sort of, if I had to read the tea leaves, we only have 3 weeks left to the election. I think there's a lot of pressure on to get something done in the next 3 weeks. And I would think from President Trump's side that he would want to be able to boast about getting another deal done. And that's been his MO, right? He's a deal maker, so get this deal done. I think the Democrats also want to help people. They're really driven by the fact that there is just a huge amount of pain going on right now. We talked earlier about the number of people who are unemployed. The continuing numbers are frightening. More than 25 million Americans are filing some sort of unemployment claims. Week in and week out, we're seeing, 850,000 roughly people file for first-time unemployment claims, plus the PUA on top of that, the pandemic unemployment assistance, another 650,000, 700,000. So you're looking at like 1.5 million people who every week are filing for some sort of assistance. And the number of people who are now food insecure closing in on 20%. So, I think the Democrats are motivated. I sure hope the administration is motivated. Feels like we should be able to get something done in the next couple of weeks. At least I hope so.
I think you have cause to be mad at both sides. I mean, it strikes me as quite possible that after the election, you'll still have Republicans and Democrats in one of the two houses and in the White House. I don't think it's going to be all Democrats. I don't think it's going to be all Republicans. The point being, there's going to need to be some level of cooperation here, just as there is now. I'm not sure that the election is magically going to change the fact that nobody's going to have a slam dunk. It's not going to be all Democrat. It's not going to be all Republican. And the idea that we're going to wait on this until after the election is asking people who have bills to pay to wait to get the money. And I just don't understand the logic of that, and it doesn't strike me as being fair. And I think that's a problem for the Democrats to address as much as the Republicans. Call your congressman or woman and say, come on, this is crazy. That's the end of my editorial.
No, I don't disagree with you, John. There's a lot of blame everywhere, which is why Congress's approval ratings continue to be in the toilet, frankly. So we're as a society, we're mad at them, we're mad at each other, and we're really, really worried about getting sick. And so I do think that we have to find a way to just, I don't know what it's going to take. If it's not a pandemic that makes us all look around and want to take care of each other, I have a hard time imagining what it would be, but I'm certainly hoping that we're going to wake up and see the lights at the end of that tunnel.
I would agree to a one-off, like the president said. All right, let's just do the 1,200. Let's just do the 1,200. I would do that. I would piecemeal it if I had to. The major averages are up higher today. Maybe there is some optimism in the wind. I wanted to also mention this. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said on Squawk Box that further stimulus negotiations should focus on specific areas like airlines, schools, and the Paycheck Protection Program. He said that a deal was possible, but the probability was low. I don't think the recovery depends on a massive assistance project. And airlines are up. Cruise lines are up too, right?
Lines are up. It's interesting. I can't remember who oversees the cruise lines, but whether it's it's not the FAA, but whoever it is, that federal body wanted to push out until the early spring when cruise ships could get going, and the Trump administration said, no, you only get another month in port. So I think there's some hope that people will start taking cruises again. I think all of this actually just depends on when we get a vaccine. And, you know, with regard to that, I think it's coming. And I think probably in January or February, we're all going to start hearing about vaccines that we can start taking. Bill Gates said something yesterday that I thought was very interesting and speaks to the hope that we all have, which is that he thought the United States by the third or fourth quarter of next year would have had enough vaccines out there, people will have taken it, and the world will start to come back to normal. And so here I am hoping against hope that next Christmas is like the real celebration. And meanwhile, we spend all of next year rebuilding.
I couldn't believe it was going to be till June before we were able to come out, when it was March and April. And then July seemed a long way away. And you know, now I think all of us are sort of inured to that. We're like, well, you know, whenever. I don't think any of us see the end line to this anymore. We're used to it being delayed in sort of this permanent phase four that we're in Illinois. The idea that we would be in phase five and that restaurants could open to capacity again, that sounds like crazy talk to me now, where before I couldn't imagine it would go this long.
You know, I know they just handed out a bunch of the Nobel Prizes, and I sure wish somebody would win who could explain COVID time to me, because I just have no sense anymore of how time is passing or not passing. You know, when you have all these days that seem the same, and as you say, here we are in stage four again, it feels like, you know, this, I don't know, we wake up and every day it's just another day. I'd love to see, though, in a serious, not that I'm not being serious now, John, but seriously, it would be great to be able to feel like you could go to a restaurant and sit down and not feel like you're going to die. But
yeah.
I have to say that when you go to a ceremony, and you know, whether it's a wedding or it's church or it's Rose Garden or wherever, and people just catch this thing, it makes me want to hunker down and be as safe as I can, but until we know that there's a cure and a vaccine. That's just me, but I don't think I'm alone here.
We all have our own personal thresholds, right? I don't worry that I'm going to die if I go to a restaurant, but I also feel slightly irresponsible. It feels risky. It used to be, you know, the second glass of wine was risky, or the third cocktail was risky. But now it's literally breathing the air, and then you manage that risk. You look around the room and say, okay, but I think this will be okay. I can manage this invisible risk. Airline stocks moved higher in pre-market trading after the president said on Twitter that he would approve a smaller relief bill that included $25 billion for the airline industry. United, American, and Delta gained more than 3% on that news. Okay, out of time. Elise, we'll visit with you tomorrow or next week. When is your next scheduled hit with us, Elise? I guess it'll be Monday.
I think
Monday.
It's Monday, but always available just in case.
Thanks, Elise.
See you, John.
ThinkGlink.com. 1235 WGN. Dale Buss joins us once again, the journalist who you've read in places like Forbes, etc. He is an author and journalist contributing to Chief Executive as well. He's the founder of the Flyover Coalition, which we talked about last time. Visit flyovercoalition.org. Dale, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John.
Hey, after having said all of that, let's just give people a quick reminder about what Flyover Coalition is.
It's an effort to bootstrap ourselves in flyover country. We need to do that economically. We can't depend on the largesse of the coasts. And there's a lot to brag about and work on and work with in, you know, the states between the Rockies and the Appalachians and the Great Lakes and the Gulf Coast. So that's what this organization is about. Based on my observations and concerns as a journalist, you know, working here for decades and living here.
So what are we talking about? Steel, automobile manufacturing, tourism for that matter?
Food, agriculture, yeah. Logistics, and increasingly tech. And
yeah.
That's one of the impetuses for this organization is we need to get our share of tech jobs. And because of changes brought by COVID-19, you know, there's certainly more of a possibility for places like Chicago and Indy and places all over.
Well, maybe.
But, you know, go ahead.
No. Finish that thought.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, the traditional industries in flyover country are something we really need to be concerned about, and that's why I did this piece that appeared in Chief Executive today about a new advertising campaign by Barry Zuckelman, who's the Canada-based owner of Zuckelman Industries, which is a steelmaker based in Chicago and years ago kind of consolidated some of the operations of previous tube makers and the South Side. People will recognize some of the landmarks, I believe. But he just came out for the last several weeks with an ad campaign that's very expensive in places like the Wall Street Journal, taking out full-page ads, Forbes magazine. He's got billboards and radio. Basically, he's challenging America's manufacturing CEOs to create jobs, support jobs in the United States. You know, there's been a movement to do that, but he doesn't think it's gone nearly far enough. And he thinks that's the most important thing that they can be doing.
He's kind of got a sharp stick, too. One of his paid ads in big, bold letters, Dear C-Suite, that's the executives, let's start writing 2025's annual report today. Wouldn't it be nice if it began by explaining how everybody did a little better, how we were choiceful about whom we did business with and how and when and all things were equal? And he goes on like that. It's funny because that's how the employees talk, usually not how the CEOs talk.
Yeah, this is a $3 billion company that he's built, and he's definitely put his money where his mouth is. But, you know, besides the ads, the Zuckelman's been investing like $300 million in steelmaking facilities around the country. He employs about 3,000 people overall. So he knows where he speaks, but he focuses on the importance of manufacturing jobs and building communities and, you know, being there for people. I mean, when I interviewed him, he talked about, you know, the backyard barbecue, the school and the community, what ties manufacturing workers and the communities together. And he says the lack of those, of the disappearance of many of those jobs is foundationally threatening our way of life. And he really wants CEOs to, you know, pay not just lip service to this idea, but, you know, pay real attention to it and do something about it. So he's challenging them.
So it's both, huh? It's not only let's preserve the jobs or create jobs, but then that's not enough. Let's sponsor Little League teams, build community centers, things like that.
Right. And the way that you do that is by having vitality in manufacturing that can support business and jobs so that these community building activities, you know, take place organically. And it's just really interesting because obviously this whole Made in America idea, a movement of sorts, has been around for a while. I mean, you and I have talked before about how David McNeil of WeatherTech there in Bolingbrook has been a big pusher behind that. But it's interesting because Zuckerman is doing this in the midst of a presidential campaign where Made in America is definitely an issue. So it's not just, you know, don't make in China, make in America, but it's also how do you really construct policies and an approach by the federal government that will encourage Made in America. Now, President Trump has, you know, kind of largely been sort of anecdotal about this, using the bully pulpit of the presidency to praise or condemn manufacturers for putting jobs in America, whereas Joe Biden is approaching this more systematically, kind of from a policymaking point of view, you know, saying we need to create this policy and that policy to invest hundreds of millions, or hundreds of billions of dollars here and there. And he's got a very union-oriented approach, wanting to make sure that unions participate in this. Then, of course, the question about each of them is where does China come in all this? So there's a huge brew of factors here where Zuckerman's ads are trying to penetrate. And he's spending a lot, I don't know exactly how much, hundreds of thousands of dollars for sure to get this message out.
I'm looking at some of them right now. Dale Buss's piece in chiefexecutive.net. If you go to that website, chiefexecutive.net, or Google Dear C-Suite, you'll see more about these ads. But it's interesting writing and reading, and what a positive idea. I'm out of time, but let's continue to follow this. Thanks for joining us, Dale.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
You betcha. Dale Buss, author, journalist, writes about a lot of things that affect us in the Midwest. It's 1242. It's time for another business update. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Mayor Lightfoot is considering cutting city jobs in an effort to fill the massive $1.2 billion budget deficit. The Chicago Tribune reports the city is considering a mix of layoffs and furloughs to cut costs by up to $200 million. Lightfoot has said all options are on the table. Her budget address is scheduled for October 21st. McDonald's is adding new baked goods to its menu for the first time in 8 years as it tries to revive its breakfast sales. Customers will be able to buy apple fritters, blueberry muffins, and cinnamon rolls at restaurants, at the drive-thru, and through McDelivery. The new items will be available starting October 28th. Rosemont-based Reyes Beer Division, one of the nation's largest beer distributors, plans to acquire Indianapolis-based Monarch Beverage Company. Terms of the agreement have not been disclosed. Monarch Beverage has been family-owned since it was founded in 1947. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Speaking of your head, your neck, your back, your spine, here is Tom McDevitt. He is a pain therapy program manager for Athletico Physical Therapy. This is the Oak Brook-based organization with 525 clinics throughout 12 states. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, John.
How's business?
You know, business is going well. We've been able to continue to provide high-quality care throughout this tough time.
So you guys didn't close down?
We did not have to close down. We did have to change our business model slightly. One of those changes was that we were able to offer telemedicine. In doing so, we were able to transition to use FaceTime or Zoom in order to direct our care for someone at home.
So you were looking into a lot of people's living rooms. They were describing what was bothering them.
Exactly.
I guess you could do that because you're not a chiropractor. You're not physically manipulating people so much as you are guiding them through stretching exercises, things like that.
Yeah, we'd like to consider ourselves the movement specialists in the sense that we want to take a look at how you're moving and then help identify, hey, these are some activities you can do to improve your movement as well as your strength.
Is that, if I said, what does Athletico do, would you say that we are movement specialists?
I think that's a very good term to use for a physical therapist.
I was doing some gardening. I was actually doing some painting the other day, and afterwards I wasn't moving so good. And maybe it's because I'm a little older than I used to be, but I think, doggone it, I don't like this, and it's debilitating.
Yeah, I mean, back pain, it can do that, and I think that, you know, one of the things that we like to look at is an act like that where your back may start to bother you. We hope that you think of Athletico and either give us a call or go onto our website and schedule either a free assessment, which is complimentary. We can take a look at you for 30 minutes, go through all the things that you're dealing with, and hopefully identify a plan of care that's going to help you along the way. But the other cool thing is we can start treating you through most insurance carriers. Direct access became a law in 2018. And what we'd like to be able to, you know, encourage is if you're dealing with aches and pains, such as gardening, and your lower back has been bothering you, we would love to help take a look, John, and help you get along and get better faster.
shame on us if we didn't know that since 2018 I did not have to have a prescription.
That is true. Yeah.
We buried the lead. So you can go to Athletico. Your insurance may pay for or cover, the way your insurance plan does, an Athletico visit since 2018.
Yeah, so it was the end of that year, and then we've been marketing for those services because we do feel that in the large sense of when and any individual who deals with pain, discomfort, or any sort of movement limitation, we should be that primary care provider so that we can get you back on track. And honestly, it really, we think it's going to help reduce healthcare costs and just overall live a better quality life.
Well, the whole healthcare trend has been proactive, right? Let's not wait until you get sick. That's what HMOs were built on. Let's make sure that you stay healthy, right?
Exactly.
So if I don't have something so debilitating that I can't move, like it's a crisis, I got to go to the doctor now, but it's just I don't like the way it feels, I could go to Athletico without a prescription, and we could talk about that.
100%. And I think that's what we are really trying to encourage because, you know, the training that the Athletico physical therapists have, we all pretty much have doctorates now. And what we're trying to do is be able to...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Do people at Athletico have doctorates?
So our entire profession, we are doctorates in physical therapy. Oh. And so one of the things that what we can do is we're trained to identify if, you know, something doesn't make sense and we don't think that we can help, we want to be part of that healthcare team. And then we can direct that plan of care afterwards and maybe go see a surgeon or go see your internist because we think something different's going on. But if we're that first contact and we think it's musculoskeletal based on the exam that we do, I think that we're going to be able to help a lot of people quickly and get people back to the things they love to do faster.
Well, that would be the least invasive. That would be the most logical place to start, right? Let's see if it's something small. I've chuckled because I think everybody thinks they're a doctor now. Everybody's an expert. And so, well, I know it's this or that. What would be a typical session with somebody who comes in with something, I don't know if chronic's the right word, it's been bugging them lately, but they're not going to go get an operation. So what would you do for somebody?
Well, you know, first and foremost, we want to hear that individual's story and kind of help understand what are the limitations that that person is living with because of this either ache or pain. And then what we want to identify is, are there movements, exercises, interventions that a physical therapist can provide and help them essentially get back to doing the things that they love to do?
So stretching exercises or what?
It could be stretching exercises, range of motion, strengthening, balance, really anything that individual is trying, has a goal to do. That's what we want to try to accomplish. We'll simulate whatever activity that individual is trying to do, break it down, and provide an exercise plan for them.
I suspect most people would benefit greatly from greater flexibility, but probably strength too.
I think they both go in the same. I think flexibility definitely has to, you have to be strong to be flexible. You're working through a large range of motion that if you're lifting, you know, gardening tools or a basket at home and you need to not only get down there, but be able to lift it back up, that's all something we want to accomplish in physical therapy.
Is this for arthritis? Or where
definitely for arthritis would be something that we'd like to work with that individual. There's several studies that, you know, look at how movement, exercise, and weight loss, we want to help provide an active lifestyle, can help manage the symptoms of arthritis.
Do you prescribe medication?
We do not prescribe medication. Our medication is movement, and we love it.
Do you have machines? And then can I duplicate those at home?
Yeah, so we try to identify exercises that we can help provide instruction for home therapy, in the sense that, you know, if we're working on squats, use a chair at home. If we're working on squats with some weight, grab a bucket or a purse or something that has a little bit of added load that's going to help that individual get stronger.
Yeah, I've seen people use canned goods.
Yeah.
Is that too small? Is that too puny?
You know, sometimes that's one of our favorite things to do is we take a look at some of the movements that may be weak and we show that it's okay to work at a lower weight and get stronger. That's absolutely effective.
So in Illinois, you no longer need a referral or a prescription from a doctor to get physical therapy to, say, visit an Athletico. Anything else you'd like to pass along?
No, I mean, like I said, it's really easy to schedule a visit now. You can call 877-ATHLETICO or visit athletico.com. We have a variety of centers, and we're always trying to accommodate for each person's demands, whether it's work, life, family, or stress, and help them get back to what they love to do.
And 525 clinics.
Yes, we have grown significantly since I've began with the company.
Yeah, and those are all open.
I believe all centers are still open, yes.
Tom, thanks for coming in. Tom McDevitt is the pain therapy program manager for Athletico Physical Therapy. Well, that's good news for all of us. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks a lot, John. It's been a pleasure.